Hello, everyone. Today's devotion comes from 2 Peter chapter 2. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read that for us. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if, by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, their blots and blemishes reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For, speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Amen. In the previous chapter, the Apostle Peter talked about confirming our calling and election by way of practicing the qualities of Christ. We're called to supplement our faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. In today's chapter, Peter lays out very clearly that there are and there will be those who do not practice these qualities and try to lead others away from the truth, false prophets and teachers. And there are two main things that Peter says about these false prophets and teachers. The first is that God is fully capable and will judge these fallen false teachers according to their wrongdoing. Peter gives a number of scriptural examples of how God's judgment played out on the ungodly, and each of them is no small feat. God dealt with the angels who rebelled against him by casting them into hell and bounding them in chains of gloomy darkness. God dealt with the ungodly by eradicating them with a flood in the days of Noah. God dealt with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by turning them into ashes. All of these serve as sobering reminders of consequences of godlessness in the presence of an almighty and holy God. God will deal with unrighteousness. The second thing that Peter says about these false teachers is that there is absolutely no substance in them. This is what Peter says about them in verses 17 to 19. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. These false teachers claim that by doing whatever they want in their corruption somehow grants them freedom. But God clearly has a totally different definition of freedom, because the quote-unquote freedom that these false teachers claim to have is actually what makes them slaves to their own corruption. Their claims are just enticing words, empty with no substance. All of this about false teachers is starkly contrasted by the crux of what this passage stands upon, and that is the unwavering truth of Jesus, which is laid out for us in the previous chapter. Let me just read for us 2 Peter chapter 1. This is verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Clearly, the claims of the false teachers in this chapter pale in comparison to the rich truth of Christ that can't be refuted. What lie can man claim against the mighty truth of God, which will expose every blot of unrighteousness? Today's passage is one that is both shockingly sobering about the judgment of God and also unwaveringly hopeful in the truth of God that will stand the test of time. Perhaps we might not identify with the false teachers and prophets that Peter talks about in this passage, but there might be ways in which we are still influenced by the lies and lures of the enemy. We ourselves are frail and easily knocked down. But let's remember that the truth of Christ, his truth and his righteousness cannot be overcome. Let's cling onto that. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today humbled. You are a God who is full of righteous judgment and also overwhelming grace. You despise wickedness and deceitfulness. That's fully shown in the examples of your judgment we read today. And Lord, we admit we at many points throughout our lives have given into the lures of the enemy. But Lord, somehow you still cover us with the righteousness of Christ. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of Christ that keeps us and does not falter. Help us, Lord, to grip onto this amazing truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.